The Lord. Thank you, young people. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 this morning. And I hope you did enjoy the 4th and with your family, that you were able to, again, be able to celebrate the birthday of our great nation on July 4th. I don't know where you were able to spend it or what was going on where you were, but I do hope that you thought about all those. Amen. It was on that day that they signed, that July 4, 1776, that they penned that Declaration of Independence and declared ourselves free. But friends, it took the blood of many men to pay. And that it was a declaration of something that they finished through. They desired to see done. And it wasn't just because of the blood of men, the patriots, true patriots of our country that saw it through, but also the hand of God intertwined with the men and their desire and their honoring of a holy God that brought this nation into fruition. And I hope you've been able to study true American history and to see that God's hand was all through and the prep. You know, there's others that think that it was the French that kept us in this thing, and I'll tip my hat to the French, and we've had to go take care of them several times since then, amen, and in repaying them, but it was not the French that kept us in the Revolutionary War, and that it was the hand of God several times in battles and key places that kept us and made us a free nation and a group of men who, with a heart that pledged their themselves and their fortunes and something that most people don't know anything about today, their sacred honor. And they penned it down and said that they desired to have an independent nation free of tyranny of Britain. So I hope you were able to celebrate that. I do want to kind of preach that way. Our music, can I say thank you to the choir and all those that sang specials. I do believe it was God directed my heart right into where I needed to be today. I do know the 4th of July is a special day in my heart. If you cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. Amen. And I just want you to know that I'm American through and through. And I love this nation. I do believe, I said it last week, and I'll say it again, that I believe that we live in the greatest nation on earth. And if you don't believe that, you should probably go back to wherever you came from. Amen. Or become a citizen of that nation that you so desire or think is better than this one. But let me say today that I do believe that sometimes in our great desire for independence, that we have become independent of the person that gave us independence, and that is the Holy God, the one that really we were dependent upon to give us independence in the early days. You cannot read after the founders of this nation without realizing that they were dependent on a holy God for there to sustain them, to encourage them through the battles and through the tough times, and even relying on Him to swing things during the battle to help them win some of those things. And also for their determination. I was reminded yesterday out on bus visitation just how key God was in all those things. And I just want to say today, you know, sometimes we're as Americans, we lack studying our own history. And you know, that it's been said that people that don't know their own history are doomed to repeat some of the terrible things, even in our republic. And I'll say that again, not in our democracy, but in our republic. Amen. That our Constitution guarantees us to have. Even in our republic, we would do well to go back to some things and see how other nations that had really only one that had a republic like ours, and things that caused them to fail. The liberties and the way that people have taken their independence away from God and acted like they could do anything, even flaunt their sin in the face of God and get away with it. Rome didn't get away with it. Okay? They ceased to be a world power because of their lifestyle, because of the way they lived and the way they took their liberty and shook their fist in the face of God and said, "What are you going to do about it?" Can I tell you today that we live in a great nation? We have the opportunity today. I can leave this place. I can stand in this pulpit and preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what we have in this nation. There are nations in this on this earth that you cannot stand up and you cannot preach the gospel. You cannot tell people the truth. You can't even listen. There are nations in this world that if I preached against their book, all right, they'd want to kill me. We live in a day and age, listen, we live in a country that's free and we can freely stand up. We can freely, across from someone else pumping gas, take a track out of our pocket and give it to somebody. We can freely share our faith with those around us. And I thank God for that. I thank God that I was born in that nation. I know that it's only by the providence of God that I was born here. And it's only by the providence of God that I was able, listen, that God throughout doing the will of God in my life that I've come to this point in this place. And I said last week how much I love and honor the pulpit of my pastor. And I look forward for his return, but you got to deal with me a little bit more. Amen. And so in Psalms 27 today, can I just take you back a little bit? And I wanted you to see here, the message is declaring our dependence on God. Declaring our dependence upon God today. And that's really where I want to spend my time. But I want you to see this in Psalms 27. We'll look at I believe this is David's declaration of his dependence upon his God. I believe David, as he writes this psalm under the inspiration of God, I think he just sat down one day and just thought to himself, I am wholly and solely dependent on God. I think he reveled. Sometimes as Americans, I think that we get so, and even some statements I made last week about, you know, I think are the, you know, people taking care of other people kind of thing in this nation, rather than working and taking care of your own house and as a man taking care of your own family. And I think those things are good, but sometimes we get to the place where we think we can take care of everything. That we got it all on our own. And I agree that we ought to take care of our family. I believe a man ought to work. I believe that we ought to do those things that I preached last week. But I also know this, that I cannot be independent of a holy God. That I cannot live, that I trust him for so many things. And I believe David, maybe somebody, you know, he out there fighting and just realized, you know, men that are in desperate situations realize just how dependent they are on God. And I don't want my life to end up, I don't want God to have to take me to a place where I'm in a desperate situation to prove to him or even to say to him, God, I'm dependent upon you. I'm putting it all on you, God. I'm going to work like it all depends on me. But I'm going to put it all on you. I'm going to depend solely on you. And I believe as a people, as American people, I believe that as a group of people in these United States of America, if we as a people would humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, what are we going to tell God? God, we owe it all to you. If we were to fall on our face before God and say, God, we don't got nothing if we don't have you. Liberty comes from you, God. True freedom is found in him. Can I tell you today, if we don't get to back to that place as a nation, and listen, this nation is not some land. It's a group of people that live in it. It's made up of people. And if the people, if my people don't come back to me, listen, if this land of people don't get back to a holy God and declare their dependence upon him, then listen, I fear. You say, well, I believe we're in a desperate situation already. And I believe that we're there. You know, I almost called them liberals, all right? I don't want to offend anybody. So, not really. Just buckle up, all right? So, I'll just tell you today, you know that even the liberal crowd out there today believes that there is global warming about to happen to the world. They believe that it's already happened. They believe that in 12 years, if we don't do something, you know, it's convenient how all those years run with the cycles of election and things. But if it doesn't happen, and if we don't get this thing, if we don't make some things happen soon, then, it's going to be irreparable damage. You like that big word I use? I heard them say that. And they said that we can't fix it if it doesn't happen. If we don't take care of some of these things. And they make fun of people that make fun of them. that say, like our president, praise God for him, that said, that's a bunch of junk.
Amen.
Amen. And told them that. You know, and I appreciate, I'll just say this. Listen, there was one Democrat, and I messed up now. I was one person that was out of those 20 candidates that actually said, you know, America only, even if everything that they say is true, America's only 15% of the problem. And like, we're going to fix the rest of the world. Good luck trying to get 80% of that fixed in China. Good luck with getting them to change everything, all right? I'm just here to tell you, if we're dependent on China changing their ways and becoming a world power to the place that they're going to go green, all right? I'm just telling you, you're in trouble. Can I just say, God has got it well in hand. God built something, and it is very arrogant of a man to think that he can mess up what God made. It's very arrogant of man to think that I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in God's eternal plan, and I'm going to mess it up before time. Can I just tell you that we need to get back to a place that we're dependent on God? We need to get back to a place that we just say to ourselves, hey, listen, I thought I was something, but God, I thank you for bringing me to a place that I know that you are the holy God of the universe, that you're the one that saves from the uttermost to the guttermost, that you're the God of heaven that has his hand on the heart of the king and can turn him to and fro. It's prayer that changes things. And this is not a message on prayer, but can I say today that, listen, so many times we want to dive into the political arena and we want to get involved in all the things. And listen, I believe you ought to vote. Let me just go there before you think you misconstrue what I'm saying. But we would rather go down and try to get this person elected instead of falling on our face before a holy God that can take whoever is elected and squeeze the heart inside that man and turn him whichever way he chooses. I think you ought to vote that book. I think you ought to vote for things, not for what you want, but what God says. It's truth. But above that, I believe that we ought to pray. And I believe that we are a nation of people who have forgotten to pray. It is clear when you don't pray, you don't believe that you're dependent upon a holy God. Can I ask you, this week, the week when we celebrated the birth of our nation, how many minutes this week did you beg God for this nation? How many minutes did you fall on your face before God and say, oh God, my nation is sinful. It's wicked and away from you. God, would you help my nation? See, we live in the greatest nation on earth. But I'm not even talking about just begging God to come back. How many minutes did you thank God for what he gave you in this nation? Man, I can't go throughout a day without thanking God for the wife he gave me. I can't go through a day without thanking God for the family that he's given me with my children. I can't go through a day without thanking God for my church family. But I want to tell you, you know, sometimes I forget just why I can live in that house with my children, why I can live with my wife, and why I have the freedom to come to this place on Sunday, but it's because I live in a nation that's free. I forget to even thank God for this place, this nation that God has brought up, raised up. And we can talk about why. But here, David in Psalms 27, he says this. Can I show you something today in his word? Could you pray with me? Would you bow your heads and let me pray? Dear Jesus, I do thank you for this great book that you've given us, God. And I thank you for David, how you used him, dear God, with your Holy Spirit of God inside of him to write and pen these words. I pray today that you'd help us to be able to take something from the passage that would help us to be dependent, more dependent upon you today, God. I pray that if there is one that has never been saved, they've never put their faith and trust, their dependency in the finished work of Christ, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalms 27 and verse number 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
I fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Can I tell you today, listen, as a believer, we ought to, number one, see that not only, listen, that those writers of the Constitution, those writers of the preamble of the Constitution, even that First Continental Congress, do you know that the First Continental Congress, when they got together, they did not declare war upon Britain. They got together and talked about all their grievances, and they talked about all the things that were trouble. In 1774, a couple years before, they were declaring that independence that would come. But in 1774, they got together and they wrote a Declaration of Rights. And that Declaration of Rights were life, liberty, not the pursuit of happiness, but property. It rolls off your tongue a little bit more, you know, the pursuit of happiness. But you know, they were in a place, you know, for us, think about it as a Christian. God, He gave us some things. And that if we were to declare our dependence upon Him, we would realize that in Him, first of all, is not just life, the life. Can I say that? The way, the truth, the life, but eternal life. Can I tell you today, listen, when I got saved and accepted Jesus as my Savior, it was very clear that I had passed from death into life. That the life that I was living in darkness and in sin, and the life that I thought that the world had said that that's what I ought to live and what it was, the best life that I could live, listen, I found in Jesus Christ that there was a better life than the world had. That there was a life that wasn't just eternal and had eternal promises, but on this side of heaven, that I had people in my church that loved me beyond my blood. Listen, I thank God for the blood of people in this world, this side of heaven, that I can share my blood with, my brother, my sister, my mom, and my dad. But listen, there are other people, but because of the blood of Jesus, I'm brothers and sisters with them. And when I'm afflicted and when I'm down and when I'm hurting, listen, I can reach out to brothers and sisters in Christ, my blood through the Savior, Jesus. Hey, I've got a family in Jesus Christ, a life that I never had before. I could never have without Him. Can I tell you today, listen, when I declare dependence upon God, I receive life like no one else can give. I declare my dependence, and I said before when I prayed, listen, if you are here in this building and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you would declare your dependence upon Him, and you say, what does that mean, Brother Parsons? It means simply this. It means to accept Christ as your Savior, to turn away from anything else that you're trusting in for salvation and turn completely to a holy God, to His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, was pure, sinless, Son of God, and died on Calvary and paid for your sin and my sin so that we could go and spend eternity with Him. That's what dependence upon God begins with, is salvation. Second of all, he goes on, and I mean this, listen, not just, you think about liberty. What is liberty? We can say freedom, but just think about this. God freed us. We live in this old fleshly body, and we are tempted, but boy, we have a power after we receive Christ that we never had before to resist temptation. We have the power of God. And then you say, what do you mean? What kind of power did you get? You got power. Listen, I only got a third part of the Godhead. I only got Holy Spirit of God living inside of me to empower me. Everything Jesus did in His earthly ministry, He did through the power of the Holy Ghost of God living inside of Him. And if God can raise the dead, then He can keep me from getting into things that I ought not be getting into if I trust, if I lean on Him, if I'm dependent upon a holy God. Oh, I believe that we live in a day and age where people don't want to realize the power of God in their life because they like to revel in their sin. We want to be independent of God, and we want to live. I believe we were reading this morning, 1 Peter talks about living, that letting our liberty become a cloak of maliciousness. And it's talking about government. I know where it's at in the context, but listen, don't make any mistake. You can make your liberty a cloak of maliciousness even against a holy God. Not just against the government, as it speaks of in 1 Peter. Can I say today, we have life and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Liberty to not have to live in the world. The liberty not to have to live in sin. The liberty to have an opportunity to walk and talk daily with a holy God. That, as the Bible uses this term, to come boldly before the throne of grace. Listen, I, as a believer, I don't have to live like I used to live.
I don't have to fail every day, although I do sometimes. But I thank you, he's made provision for that in his liberty. Amen. Thank God. I don't live in jeopardy. I live in liberty. Say, Brother Parsons, what do you mean? I just mean this. You know, there are people out there that believe that we can have salvation one minute and we can lose it the next. And they didn't find it in the King James Bible. They sure didn't find it in any Bible. Can I tell you today, listen, if they did, they wrote it in themselves. They wrote it in the margin. They wrote it in the notes. Because this book, it just, eternal life, Jesus paid it all. None of those things equal out with I've told you that before, but you know, I mean, what kind of Savior would Jesus be if he said, I'm the pilot of this ship, and he got us up to 40,000 feet and said, all right, now it's your job to keep it up here. And the pedals came out of the floor. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you were on that flight with me, and you weren't pulling your weight, we'd be having trouble on it. I'd be pedal faster. You know, you say, Brother Parsons, I'm just saying, listen, we have liberty in Jesus Christ that the world doesn't have. They speak of liberty, but they don't know what they really talk about. They don't know what true freedom is because they've never been saved. He goes on to say in verse number 3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and then inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Can I just say this? And I realize some of this is out of order, but listen, it says, you know, one of the things that they had the right to do that was in the Declaration of Right was a right to assemble. Listen, can I tell you that Jesus came to earth and paid for our sins individually, but then he made something that had never been before. He made the church of the living God. The word church means called out assembly, ecclesia. I don't even speak Greek, but I know what that one is. Amen. And again, I'm just trying to tell you that the Bible, this book, God made a provision for his people to be called out. Can I tell you, it's a good thing. You know that we every year on July 4, 1776, from then on, boy, there's been all kinds of parties and things that have gone on. People got happy about having a nation and their independence. But every Sunday, I get to leave my home and come to the house of worship because I have the right to assemble, not only in this nation, but because the book God made a way and said that forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I get to leave home and I get to come to church and declare my dependence upon a holy God. I get to come to church and to declare that he is my God, that he's my God. Hey, what are you here to do today? Are you here to see your friend or to declare your dependence upon a holy God? To say, hey, God, I've come to meet with you again because I'm dependent upon you. Every day we ought to meet with him, every day in private. But boy, it's a blessing when we can come into the house of God. And listen, I don't show up by myself, but there's other people here. And I said, hey, it's not just me, God. There's others that love you too. Hey, there's other people. And I get to go over to you and say, hey, man, you're looking terrible today. Brother Richard, you're not looking so good, but I like your haircut. And I get to go over and talk to other, but listen, we can enjoy each other as believers because we have a common bond. Can I tell you today, boy, not everybody has that. Listen, there's all kinds of groups that are veterans that try to mock. Listen, they try to mock the same thing up, to have the same kind of brotherhood that Jesus started. There are groups, they have all kinds of groups. They have all kinds of places. They meet and drink, and they go out together, and they do all kinds of things because there is an inborn desire inside of each one of us that we want to belong. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and purchased his bride, the church, with his own blood. And then he started, during his earthly ministry, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I today get to assemble. You and I have the right, shall I say the privilege,
every Sunday morning, not once a year, not at Christmas and Easter. Amen. Not once a month like some others, but every Sunday we get to gather in this place and declare our dependence upon God. Amen. Together. We get to show the world. You know, every time I leave my driveway, what the world gets to see? That guy is dependent upon God. I don't go and knock their door every Sunday morning and say, hey, I just leave for church. Just want to tell you I was dependent upon God. But you know what? Me pulling out the driveway sends a message to everybody around, everybody in development. That guy's never there on Sunday. Now, I don't know what your practice is. My neighbors go, he ain't never there. And that's, okay, that's what they believe, okay? So it may not be that testimony that you get to send, but if you're home a lot and the thing you leave your house and your driveway for is this place, do you understand what kind of message you're sending? There are two places that person thinks important. This is, I would say this over the crowd, the people I'm looking at, there are people who say, I believe the two things they think are important, Walmart and God. Amen. And they always talk bad about Walmart. Amen. Can I tell you, listen, we live in a day and age where the world is watching the church to see what's important to them, to see if it's real. I'm just going to tell you, you know, there people talk a good game, but people realize when you're real or not. They realize whether it's just something you do out of tradition or whether you're dependent upon God, solely and wholly dependent upon a holy God. Listen, if you're here this morning and you never put your dependence upon God, really have never accepted Him, never come to the place where you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never asked Him to forgive your sins, you've never come to a place where you've put your faith and trust in Him, leaving all the other things behind, leaving all the things that you're trusting in or desire, and placed all your dependence upon Him, then listen, the reason we assemble is because we love each other in this church. But secondly, we meet together so that we can hear the preaching of God's word and give people an opportunity, just like I had as a 15-year-old boy in a preaching meeting just like this. And the preacher said, listen, if you're not saved, and you don't know, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, step out and come forward. I remember the night that happened. And I remember I was sitting on this side of the auditorium. And I was sitting probably about halfway back. And I remember gripping the pew and saying, man, I was dating my wife at the time, whatever you want to call it. Back then we called it going together. They changed the terminology, but you know what I mean. And I thought, her dad was one of the best Christians I knew. And I thought, what's going to happen if I walk the aisle and people realize that I've not been saved? I might not be able to, you know. And this overwhelming decision inside myself came, I'm not going to hell for anybody. And then I thought, well, what will the pastor say? It was a youth meeting and my preacher wasn't there. And I thought, well, what will my pastor say? Can I tell you what my pastor said the day my wife got saved in this place? He took my wife's hand and he said, I don't know what heaven would have been like without you, Miss Parsons. Miss Sherry. Hey, if you think that there's anybody in this building this morning that would despise your salvation, you're sadly mistaken. This is a building full of people that would rejoice when you receive Christ. But then I thought, people are going to see me. But I finally overwhelmingly just pushed all that off and said, I don't want to spend another day questioning whether I'm going to go to heaven or whether I'm going to go to hell, because this preacher just preached. That preacher that I heard that night, he laid it out that there was two places to spend eternity. There was a heaven that God had prepared for his saints and a hell that he prepared for the devil and his angels. And he made it clear that because of my sin and realizing that I was still in my sin and never accepted Christ's payment on Calvary for me, I realized that I was deserving of a place called hell because of my sin, and I had to go there.
Then he didn't stop there. He said, but because of what Jesus did for you, if you accept his payment on Calvary, if you accept him as your Savior, if you take him as your... I'll say it like this. If you become dependent upon him for your salvation, you can spend eternity in heaven. When I realized that that's what I had to do, boy, all the things that held me back, I stood up from where I was and I walked an aisle and I took the hand of a brother I trusted and I said, I need to be saved. Listen today, if you're in this building and you've been dependent on God for years, but you've let up on that dependency, boy, won't you put your trust back in him again? Will you wholly trust him like you used to for everything? But if you're here and you've never trusted him for heaven, if you've never trusted him for paying for your sins, boy, today needs to be the day of salvation. Would you stand with me? Would you close your eyes and bow your head? The pianist is going to come and play. But if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, I'm going to pray with heads bowed and eyes closed. The pianist is going to play after I pray. But when I pray, if you're here and you're not saved, would you step out and come down front and be down here? Just come down front and let me take your hand and tell me, Brother Parsons, I need to be saved. Would you do that today, either while the piano's playing, or step out when I begin to pray so that you can be saved? Would you do that today? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings, and I thank you for these that are here, dear God, that have come, and I know that many of them have been dependent upon you for years. If they're here and they don't have their dependency in you this morning, would you help increase that? Help them to renew that in their own life and get dependent. Pray for their nation. Pray for their family. Pray for just those that are lost. Be a witness to them. But if there are some in this place today that do not know Christ as Savior, I pray that Holy Spirit of God, that you would draw them and help give them strength to step out and come and be saved. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Would you come as we sing? Just